Well, if you have a Bible, you could turn to Matthew 25, and we'll be starting at the beginning of that chapter, looking together today at the parable of the 10 bridesmaids or 10 virgins, depending on what translation you use. The word that's translated for this in the original language simply means a young unmarried daughter. So some translations call it virgins, some call them bridesmaids. Let's just pray. Father, we're coming to your word, the word that is living and active and powerful. Lord, we're coming not simply for information, we're coming to meet with you, the living God, and to hear from you, your word to our hearts. Not simply words from a page, but words by your Holy Spirit imparted to our hearts and minds and souls to be transformed, to be changed by your living word touching our lives and hearts and minds. So come, Holy Spirit, and take your word and take the words that I speak, and may they be living for us today. Lord, open my heart and our hearts to receive what you would say to us today through your word by your Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Matthew chapter 25, verse 1, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of 10 bridesmaids who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. The five who were foolish didn't take enough oil, olive oil, for their lamps, but the other five were wise enough to take along extra oil. When the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, they were roused by the shout, "Look, the bridegroom is coming. Come out and meet him." All the bridesmaids got up and prepared their lamps, and then the five foolish ones asked the others, "Please give us some of your oil because our lamps are going out." But the others replied, "We don't have enough for all of us. Go to a shop and buy some for yourselves." But while they were gone to buy oil, the bridegroom came. Then those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was locked. Later, when the other five bridesmaids returned, they stood outside calling, "Lord, Lord, open the door for us." But he called back, "Believe me, I don't know you. So you too must keep watch, for you do not know the day or the hour of my return." Well, just a couple of comments about some of the words here. The words foolish and wise, the word foolish means dull or stupid, and the word wise means prudent or sensible, understanding resulting from insight and wisdom. And Jesus spoke about wise and foolish people in Matthew 7. He kind of gave us a definition there. He said this in Matthew 7:24. "Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Then, though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and ignores it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash." So the wise people are those who think about a solid foundation for life. The foolish people are those that are simply living for the easiest thing in the moment with no forethought for the long term. Obviously, quicker and easier to build a house on sand than on rock, but it doesn't last too well. The word virgins I mentioned to you already means a young unmarried daughter. Notice the statement in verse 10. It says, "Then those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast." That's a significant statement, those who were ready. Jesus, speaking about his return in Luke chapter 12, verse 38, said this. He said, "He may come in the middle of the night or just before dawn, But whenever he comes, he will reward the servants who are ready. There's that word again. Understand this. If a homeowner knew exactly when a burglar was coming, he would not permit his house to be broken into. You also must be ready all the time, for the Son of Man will come when least expected. A faithful, sensible servant is one to whom the master can give responsibility of managing his other household servants and feeding them. If the master returns and finds that servant has done a good job, there will be a reward. And then Jesus used the term watch. He said, you too must keep watch, for you don't know the day or the hour. Well, that word really means to be alert, to be awake, to be giving strict attention, and to be continuously ready, as Jesus used that word many times. He used those two words many times in talking to his followers. Watch and be ready. Well, lest we should imagine that this is just a fabricated story. Now, Jesus did make up stories, parables, to illustrate things, but his stories were usually based upon things that were going on right around him. And a man named Dr. Alexander Finley was in Israel a number of years ago, and he tells this story. He says, we were approaching the gates of a town in Galilee, and I caught sight of 10 young ladies gaily clad and playing some kind of musical instrument as they danced along the road. So I asked our guide what they were doing, and he told me they were going to keep the bride company until the bridegroom arrived. I asked him if there was any chance of seeing the wedding, and he said no, because it could be tonight, or it could be tomorrow night, or it could be in 2 weeks. No one ever knows for certain. And then he went on to explain that it was a great thing if you could catch a middle-class wedding bridal party napping. And so the bridegroom comes unexpectedly, and sometimes in the middle of the night, as in the story Jesus told. Now, the bridegroom would send a man out ahead of him to announce along the street, behold, the bridegroom is coming. But that could happen at any time, and so the bridal party had to be ready to go out and meet the bridegroom at a moment's notice, whenever he chooses to come. And the guide went on to explain that when the bridegroom has arrived and the door has been shut, latecomers to the ceremony are not admitted. So this whole drama that Jesus tells in his parable was actually reenacted in 20th century Galilee. This Dr. Alexander saw it happening. Well, as in so many of Jesus' parables, there's sometimes more than one application. And there was a current application in Jesus' day, and that is that it was directed to the Jewish people because the Jews were the chosen people. Their whole history should have been a preparation for the coming of Jesus, the Son of God, their Messiah. They ought to have been prepared when he came. But instead, they were quite unprepared, and therefore the majority of the Jews have not recognized or embraced Jesus as their Messiah, and therefore many were shut out. John writes this in John chapter 1, verse 10. He says, he, that is speaking of Jesus, he came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who received him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. So many didn't recognize and receive him, but to anyone who did, to all who did, he gave the right to become children of God. Jesus, near the end of his life, said this as he was overlooking Jerusalem. He said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones God's messengers, how often I have wanted to gather your children together as a hen protects her chicks under her wings, but you won't let me. And now, look, your house is abandoned and desolate. We hear there the heart of Jesus. And Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So we hear the heart of God longing for his creation to respond to him and find hope in his presence. Oh, if only you'd listen, Jerusalem. If only you would respond to me. I would protect you as a hen protects its chicks. Well, I want to look at three warnings from this parable and then one wonderful truth. The first warning is that there are certain things that can't be obtained at the last minute. It's far too late, for instance, for a student to be preparing for an exam when the teacher is handing out the papers. It's easy to leave things so late that we can no longer prepare ourselves to meet with God. Verse 5, it says that all of them became drowsy and fell asleep. Those are two different significant words. You know what it's like when you're nodding off, like maybe some of you are doing that right now. and then you fall asleep. There was a man in the church that I was pastoring in Yellowknife, and he went to sleep every Sunday that I preached, year after year after year. Thankfully, most of the rest of them stayed awake, so I figured that maybe it wasn't just my sermons. So they got drowsy and then fell asleep, or slumbered and slept, as another translation puts it, slumbering, kind of half awake, half asleep, and then finally slept, went to sleep. Well, let me just tell you a little illustrative story from Haiti just in recent months. A man named Mitch Album and others who were with him were running an orphanage in Haiti, and they had to escape at the last minute in the middle of the night after, well, as you're probably aware, things turned very south, and gangs took over, and the government was in trouble, and things were a total mess. And so they had to escape in the middle of the night. A previous attempt had to be aborted because there was equipment problems. They were supposed to be rescued at 4 a.m. in the dark, and because of these equipment problems, the helicopter wasn't coming, and by 6:30 a.m., the sun was coming up, and so they had to call off the rescue attempt. But finally, the rescheduled night arrived. The helicopter was supposed to pick them up at 3 a.m., and Mitch writes that our group was exhausted from the previous night's attempt and also from the stress-filled days in the middle of a chaotic nation. By 10 p.m., they were sitting at the safe location where the helicopter was going to come and rescue them, and they were falling asleep. Mitch said he hadn't slept in 2 days, and so they set their alarm and were going to sleep until 2 a.m. and then wake up and be ready for the helicopter to come. But a little while after he'd gone to sleep, his wife nudges him and says, "Your phone is pinging." So he jumped up, looked at his phone, and the message was, "Are you getting my communications? We're coming early." And so he looked back through the texts, and one said, "We're going to be there in 30 minutes, and then be there in 20 minutes, and then in 10 minutes. And so he jumped up and hollered and woke everybody up and ran around. And then they got another message that said, "No bags, just passports." So they all had to scramble, get out their passports, run out to the landing site, and they heard the helicopter arriving, landed there. A couple of guys jumped out and said, "Go, go, go." And so they raced under the blades, jumped in, piled into a helicopter that was supposed to carry four, and 10 of them got in and piled on top of each other. And in 67 seconds, the helicopter took off again. So that's the time they had to get there. Well, anybody that hadn't been there with their passport ready would have been left behind. It would have been too late. The words "too late" are perhaps some of the most regretful words that we can hear or say. Well, secondly, this warns us that there are certain things that can't be borrowed or received from anyone else. They tried to borrow some oil, but oil is representative of the Holy Spirit, of God, of the presence of God. Someone said God has no grandchildren. Every one of us must come into a personal relationship with God through Christ. 1 John 5:11 says this: "This is what God has testified. He has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Well, only those adopted into the family are welcomed as children of God. Ephesians 1:5 says, God decided in advance to adopt us into his family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. Because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God. God decided to adopt us. Someone said, you know, there may be unwanted pregnancies, but there aren't accidental adoptions. God decided to adopt us. The oil in Scripture is representative of the Holy Spirit, as I said. Without the Holy Spirit, there is no eternal life. John 3:6, Jesus said, humans can produce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So don't be surprised when I say you must be born again. And then later in John 6:63, Jesus said, the Spirit gives life, the flesh counts for nothing. And Paul affirmed this same truth in Romans 8:9 when he said, remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to him at all. The five foolish bridesmaids thought they had what was needed to get them into the marriage feast, but they learned at the last moment that they were not prepared at all, and so they were locked out of the marriage feast. They found it impossible to borrow oil when needed, and so went off to buy something. Apparently there were 24/7 shops selling oil. Interesting that they went off at midnight. We can't have a relationship with God by simply hanging around with other people who know God, or even by being born into a family that knows God, or just going to church or doing the right things. None of those will bring us into a eternal relationship with the living God. It's only by the rebirth of the Holy Spirit that Jesus spoke about. Jesus commented on this when he said, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. Wow, that's a challenging statement. The Pharisees were the poster boys of good moral living. They were the ones that kept all the 613 laws and legalistically did everything that was right. But Jesus said, they're not making it into heaven, and if you're only counting on what they're counting on, you're not going to make it either. So let me just tell you about the last flight out of Saigon, which was then South Vietnam, in April 24th, 1975. The only way that 61 Vietnamese employees of Pan Am Airlines and their families, which totaled over 300, could get out of Saigon before the communists took over was for Al Topping, the chief of staff for Pan Am in Saigon, to officially adopt them all. And that's what he did. He adopted these 300 people, and that allowed him to take them out of what was then South Vietnam. So on April 24th, the last flight out of Saigon left with these 300 adopted Vietnamese on board. 8 days later, May 1st, the North Vietnamese tanks rolled into Saigon and South Vietnam ceased to be. So that was a close call for these 300 people. And only because someone, Al Topping, was willing to adopt them were they able to get out of South Vietnam. Thirdly, this warns us that there are many who think they are friends of the groom, but who really have no relationship with him at all. Jesus said when these five foolish ones came back, he said to them, I don't know you. And so they were locked out. Many assume they have a relationship with God that will get them into his presence, but are too busy or self-absorbed or pursuing pleasure or riches, or are distracted with the cares of life so as to not make the time to develop a relationship with Jesus, the bridegroom, until it's too late. none of us just have the time for any particular thing. We make it. We make the time for that which is crucial to us. Jesus had an encounter with a rich young man one time who really did want to know God and to have eternal life. He just didn't want it more than he wanted something else. Mark tells us in Mark 10 that this young man ran up to Jesus and knelt down before him. It wasn't just kind of like walking by and saying, oh, by the way, Jesus, how do I get eternal life? He ran up, knelt down, and said, how do I get eternal life? Jesus spoke to him about the commandments, of course, knowing that he couldn't get there by keeping the commandments, but he wanted to challenge this young man. And the young man said, I've done all these things ever since I was a boy. In other words, he was a very serious religious young man who wanted to know God. And so then Jesus said to him, well, there's one thing lacking. Go and sell everything and give to the poor, and then come follow me. And it says the young man went away sad because he had great riches. Now, I don't think the primary center of that story is riches. I think it just happens to be anything. In other words, we might not be taken up with riches, but something else might be distracting us from getting to know Jesus. The question is not, do we want to know God? The question is, how much do we want to know God? Do we want it more than anything else in life? Are we willing to do whatever it takes to be right with God? Jesus told about some people that came to him on the judgment day and said, Lord, Lord, didn't we do miracles in your name? And Jesus said, I never knew you. And so it's possible to be very, very involved in religious life and not know Jesus in a personal way. So this warns us of three things. There are certain things we can't get at the last minute, certain things we can't borrow, and it's possible to suppose that we have a relationship with the bridegroom when we don't really know him at all. But finally, let me bring you to the wonderful truth, and that is, this speaks about the fact that Jesus, the bridegroom, has gone to prepare a place for his bride. And that's exactly what the Jewish bridegroom did. He went away to prepare for his bride and then came back at an unexpected moment to receive his bride. So Jesus has gone to prepare a place for his bride. That's the church. That's us. That's you and me who have a real personal and relationship with Jesus. And there's no reason for anyone to miss out on the marriage feast, the wedding feast of the Lamb. First John says this, he, Jesus, is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Jesus died for every human being who will ever walk the face of this earth. Now, that doesn't mean that they will all receive that, but it does mean that there's no reason for any of us to be locked out and to hear Jesus say, I never knew you. Jesus said as he was leaving on the night before he was arrested, he said, there is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. And he also said in John 6, whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I've come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of the Father who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. That's the Father's will, that Jesus will take with him when he returns all who have looked to him and believed in him and put their faith and trust in him and said to him, you are more important than everything else in life. The rich young man could have had eternal life, But there was something he wanted more, and so he went away sad. Kind of like a child who finds a shiny penny. Do you remember what those were, pennies? Finds a shiny penny and walks around gripping this penny, and you come along with a slightly dull loony and say, here, I'll trade you. And the child says, no, no, I want this, it's shiny. And so they hang on tight, not knowing the value of what it is that you are offering to them. Let's rejoice and be glad and give him glory, Revelation 19 says, for the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of the saints. The angel said to me, write, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. Well, everyone who puts their faith and trust in Jesus and says, be my Savior and Lord, is invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb. Well, on the back table, I have made two little pamphlets available for you, one inside the other. They look like this on the basket over there. There's enough for everyone if you just take one as a family. And they really kind of summarize what we've been talking about. The first one is a question, the movie of your life. And the second one is called Finding the Hope. So help yourself if you would like one of those, not only for you personally, but they're very helpful. Finding the Hope is a wonderful little booklet, simply and well presenting an understanding of a relationship with Jesus. And so you may want to give it to someone that you know needs some hope. Jesus is the bridegroom, preparing a place for us, for his bride, for those who are ready and watching and have a living relationship with him. If you're not certain today that when the bridegroom shows up suddenly, when Jesus comes back unexpectedly, if you're not sure that you'd be ready and welcomed in, then let me encourage you not to wait one more day. These little booklets will help you, and please come and speak to me or one of the other leaders here, and we'll be happy to help you understand how you can know for certain, with an unshakable confidence, that you know Jesus. John wrote in his little book, the Epistle of John, he used the word know 29 times. He said, I have written these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. Not hope so, not wish, not think maybe. Maybe I've lived a good enough life. No, I haven't, as a matter of fact. All of my righteousness is hopeless, but Jesus offers you and me the gift of eternal life. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this wonderful story that you told that brings us a significant warning and challenge, but also such a wonderful reminder that you welcome into the marriage feast those who are ready and waiting and prepared and seeking you and who know you in a personal relationship. Jesus, we long for your coming. We look forward to seeing you face to face. And so fill us with your presence, give us an understanding, give us a hunger and thirst to know you more deeply, I pray in Jesus' name, amen.